Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text was previously announced as the gospel for this day. It reminds us that those who should know God best often do not believe in Him. The Old Testament sets forth many examples of that same truth, starting with the beginning of sin itself, when Adam and Eve, who should have known God well enough to realize that they could never escape from Him, nevertheless foolishly hid themselves, or at least tried to hide themselves in the garden from His presence. Through the long centuries, the theme repeats itself with only minor variations, and the New Testament brings no major alteration. God the Son became flesh, a baby in the stable in Bethlehem. After the return from Egypt, He lived with His family in the city of Nazareth. Neighbors and townspeople saw Him grow up there while He labored with the carpenter who, they thought, was His father. He left Nazareth to begin His work at large, and then returned at least once, as our text points out, and perhaps more often as we look at some of these similar passages. But He did not do many mighty works there, the text says, because of their unbelief. Those who should have known Christ best often did not believe in Him. There we raise the question of who should know Christ best today. Certainly an association, a public association with a Christian congregation would begin to give some response to that question. Then we add to the context a willingness or readiness to subscribe or attach subscription to the Lutheran symbols and their unabashed confession of Jesus as the Christ, we can throw into the mixture, so to speak, the matter of formal study of God's Word at a Lutheran seminary, and in many cases a concurrent service in a congregation of God's people helping others grow in their understanding of God's Word. And when we take it all into account, the inescapable to our answer could not be clearer if handwriting miraculously appeared on a wall. You and I, those who study and learn and read God's Word in our day, we are among those who should know Christ best. All of which leads to a very noteworthy conclusion. If those who should know God in Christ best often do not believe in Him, and you and I are among those who should know Him best, then thank God for faith. Thank God for faith, because we would never put our confidence in Jesus of Nazareth and the true God if it depended upon us, any more than the people of Nazareth accepted Jesus as the Messiah when He lived among them. Like those people, we by nature see only the canon of Jesus and His work. The old Adam, which plagues us as well as it plagues them, thinking that it already knows the answers beforehand, asks some very obvious questions. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Don't we know his brothers and sisters as well as we know ourselves? Or similarly in our day, isn't Jesus merely another religious figure, another option for people to follow or reject? One choice among many? Isn't the word of the gospel only one message among the many messages that offer happiness and salvation? Isn't baptism simply a washing with common water? And the Lord's Supper nothing else than the eating of ordinary bread and the drinking of everyday wine? Such questions, with their implied answers, give no honor to Christ. Instead, they come from the hearts of those who can see nothing beyond the common of Christ and his work and his means of grace. They simply pretend to know more than God knows. They stubbornly ignore the facts that God has made known, the incarnation, the wisdom, the mighty work which Jesus of Nazareth performed. And thus they call for God to put the questioners out of his sight, to banish them from his presence, for taking offense at him when they should have known him so well. Actually, instead of taking offense at the commonness of Jesus, we should see it as a cause for thanking and praising God. For Jesus, as a common man, took the place of each of us common people in our common life and mortality. He was born of a human mother. He grew up in a human family. He lived in a human community. He endured human suffering. He died a human death. And yet he was so common, and he did these very common things while he carried out a very uncommon role. For he came to be a stand-in, a substitute. Not for just one, not for just a few, not for just his own countrymen in Nazareth, but for the whole world of common people. In Jesus, at one time, God effectively became each one of us by substitution, by assuming to himself the guilt which each one of us must bear under the terms of God's holy law. In Jesus, God accepted the experience of the torment that otherwise was reserved for us and for all sinners. He died our death for sin. He conquered the depth of eternal damnation that everyone owes. And also as the substitute for all of us, this Jesus brought himself back from death to life in triumph and gives us his victory, and now lives with his Father and his Spirit within each believer. Faith looks to Jesus in his divine commonness as Savior, and faith rejoices. Those who should know God in Christ best often do not believe in him. We are among those who should know him best today. Thanks be to God, therefore, that through his word and sacraments, not only has he brought it about that we are among those who should know him best, but also and especially that he has broken through our natural unbelief and has graciously given us saving faith. Thank God for faith.